Down. Maybe. Morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16-17. The Bible's on way, 2 Timothy 2:15. And we are excited for another day of grace. It's beautiful sun shining outside. I know this week's probably been a very dreary, dark week for many, with sicknesses and political, and just seems like the whole world's just crashing down on us. But you know something? If long as we're still here, we still have a message to preach. There's still a lot of lost people out there, a lot of confused people out there trying to understand what God is doing. And this dispensational time, this dispensational Bible church will, you know, hopefully it will help you understand some things, because as a family, as many years ago, 93, 94, some dispensationalists came to us and shared some things with us, and lights started coming on. And that's the thing about the key to understanding your Bible, is the fact that you can know what God is doing today. I know there's a lot of confusion out there, and when we look at the time chart where we're going through, the Bible timeline, that hopefully it's making sense to you. We do want to welcome the ones that are here today. We want to welcome the ones that are listening through our web, Boxcast app. You can download the Boxcast app and put it on your Apple TV, your Roku TV, your iPhones, your iPads, and you look up Dispensational Bible Church, and boom, you'll have it there. On our Facebook page, our YouTube page, and our website. You could be tuning in on our website today, and here it is. And we also have all the lessons there. And I know there's a fear out there amongst believers, amongst non-believers, that you know, things are going to be shutting down. You know, Amazon this, or YouTube this, or Facebook that. But you know something? My son and I was talking yesterday, and he says, "Dad, when you was growing up, you didn't have Facebook." So his generation is going through Facebook, and everything's instant, boom, boom, boom. And it was good to hear that he don't have a knee-jerk reaction on everything that's posted. Even if you post something on there, you know, don't get offended if somebody comes back at you and say, you know, "I don't agree with you," you know, this and that. It's okay. It's okay. But, you know, you think about times past when I was growing up, you had newspapers that supposedly told you the truth. You had telephones. You even had party lines. If you remember the old party lines that you pick up and you're hearing your neighbor talk, you know, that type of thing. Not gossiping. Nobody would do that. But it's just one of those things that I love technology. And we're in an age today that we can share anything we want to share instantly. So I would encourage you to continue to be who you are in Christ Jesus and continue to grow, and knowing that if Christ is in you and you're in Christ, it makes a world of difference out there. I hope we don't come to the time we need carrier pigeons to get a communication across, but don't let that bother us, because the Word of God is sure, it's pure, He is who He is, and for us to predict what's going to happen down the line, we're not fortune tellers. But God has laid out a plan for us in the Word of God. So I'm inviting you today. I would love to hear from you. Thank you for the ones that's been donating on our website and to support the ministry. Many of you know that we was forced to move out of the place, and where was that? Maslin. We was there for 15 years. They shut it down because of the Chinese virus, so we moved down to the Cambridge area, which we've been living for 2.5 years now, and so we have a place here that we can meet. So if you know anybody in the Southeast Ohio area that's looking for a church, or you know, want to learn the Word of God rightly divided, we're here for you. So you have our contact information and all. So with that being said, let's go to Word and Prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. We asked, as we are studying the Word of God, and we study in it the way you designed it to be studied. And when doing so, we ask that we just have a clear mind and not to fight against each other, but to understand what you said. And you, this is the author authority. And we know also the theme of the whole Bible is about a throne over the entire universe. And Lord, we know that the God of this world is out there, and he's fighting, and he's trying to control, which he is controlling this world. But those who are in Christ has the mind of Christ, and we can just relax and have peace. And let us not get upset with the way the world is going. We should understand the way the world's going. But being mindful that we still have a job to do, and that's studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and seeing a lost world come to understanding and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, we're also in lesson 13, and we're using Through the Bible by Brother Richard Jordan. He's the president of Grace School of the Bible, and he went through it in 7 hours, and this is lesson 13. So 13 hours through the Bible in 13 hours? No, we're going through it. But I also told you we're using the timeline, and we're using the book for curriculum, but we also using the book, the King James Bible, the authorized version for the English-speaking people. And this is a prelude, if I can say, to what we're going to be studying, fundamentals of dispensationalism, after we finish this. So when we get into fundamentals of dispensationalism, you're going to see some things that we're already talking about. So repetitiously, our learning is a good thing. You know, that's why we have the knowledge of God laid out in his word. So we're in lesson 13. And last lesson, we talked about Israel stumbling at the cross. And but God did not set them aside yet. So I'm going to close this up right quick. And we're going to get to this point here in a few seconds. But once again, this is your Bible on a prophetic prophecy timeline, okay? And this top line up here, who true Israel was. But we also know that true Israel became infiltrated with idolatry, and they become fornicating with other gods and all. And they started following the god of this world, to where when John the Baptist, Lord Jesus Christ, came on this earth, they didn't want nothing to do with them. And we saw that. So we're at the point right now in this area right here in this 1 year of the fig tree that we mentioned before. And we mentioned that one great blunder, last lesson, the church, is to say that the church, the body of Christ, there's different churches in the Word of God. There's a church in the wilderness. There's a kingdom church. There's a church, the body of Christ. And to understand that the greatest mistake that Christendom does today is to say that the church, the body of Christ, what God is forming today, started in Acts chapter 2. Now, I know many of you may be running right now and closing your eyes and knocking the dust off your feet and renting your clothes and all that stuff. But think about this for a minute. And as we work through this, I hope you understand this. That also, Pentecost was no secret. We went through verses last week. Pentecost was over here. They did Pentecost ever since they came out of the Passover, okay? And it was no secret, but rather it definitely fulfilled prophecy, what they was looking for. So let us continue to look at this Pentecost period. And Pentecost is a Jewish feast associated with Israel's redemption and kingdom calendar. Go to Leviticus chapter 23. Hold your finger there in Acts. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, starting with verse 15. Now, this is a redemption calendar for the nation Israel, okay? And a lot of things that's taking place in this chapter, started in this chapter, and what they established actually is fulfillment over here. But Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheath out of the wave off of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. So when Passover came, 50 days after that is what we call Pentecost. And ye shall bring out of your inhabitation two wave loaves of the two-tenth deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits of them to the Lord. And ye shall offer with the bread seven lambs without blemish of the first year, and one young bullock, and two rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and their meat offerings and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savour unto the Lord. Then ye shall sacrifice one kid of goats for sin offerings, and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits of the wave offering before the Lord with two lambs. This shall be a holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the self day that it may be a holy convocation to you. Ye shall do no severe work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. You got that? He's establishing this Pentecost, this feast day, for the nation Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. What do you know about the book of Deuteronomy? It's the second giving of the law. And they was going right back over some things that Moses established back there in Exodus. Deuteronomy 16, 16. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord, thou God, in a place which he shall choose, in the feast of the unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So there's the feast days coming up. So Pentecost is a feast day, and one of the feast days, and there's all kinds of feast days through there. Now, number three, at Pentecost, be turning back to Acts chapter 2. At Pentecost, Israel was not yet set aside and was still God's channel of blessings for the nation. You got to remember the things that we already talked about when he talked about the fig tree. And the Lord came to cut it down, and the dresser said, Lord, let it be 1 year, and if it don't produce fruit, then cut it down. So from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7, maybe 8, is 1 year in your Bible. I know it seems like a generation that's gone past, but think about this for a minute. When the blessings, when God created Israel to be his chosen person, vessel, in the earth, to bring the blessings down to us Gentiles, in times past, there's always been a way the Gentiles could get saved. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But they had to go through the nation Israel, okay? They're supposed to have been the light. Well, that did not change at the cross. That's why I said on an onslaught, and you'll see it again, the church, the body of Christ, did not start there. There was already a church established there. So now you're looking at, did this change? Okay? And it didn't. We're dispensationalists. We understand that God never changes, but the way he dealt with man has changed. So he still is dealing with the nation Israel right here, and he hasn't changed how a Gentile could be saved. Now look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. These verses right here made a world of difference 30 years ago. Yeah, we're coming up on 30 years. And that when the dispensation started showing us these verses, it's like, whoa, he's not talking to me. I wasn't there for one. Two, you're going to see who they are talking to. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, once again, Peter, 11 plus Peter is what?
12.
How many apostles are they? 12. Okay. Paul was not there. Saul was not there. You got to remember this. With 11, lifted up his voice and said unto ye, them, ye men of Ohio, you men of Illinois, Florida, you men of the United States, look out your window and that's your Jerusalem. That's been said. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Now who is he speaking to here? Men of Judea and all that dwell, and ye that dwell in Jerusalem, okay, who would that be?
Israelites,
okay? Look at verse 22. Once again, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved unto God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, who require signs. That's what Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Jews require a sign. Greeks seek after wisdom. The very first signs in your Bible happened with Moses. He put his hand in his coat. It came out. It was withered. Put it back in. It was like a baby's hand. Then the staff. He laid the staff down and turned into a snake. Those two signs right there, when the Israelites saw that, they're like, whoa, God's with us. And they required those signs. There's many people today require signs, and they really not of God, if you think about it. Because Jews require signs in times past, which God did by him in the midst of you, and as ye yourself also know. Now who's he talking to? Israel, verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. All the house of who? Israel. Acts chapter 3. We've been over these verses and we'll continue to go over these verses. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. Ye are the children. Now ye, talking to a group here, okay? Ye being the nation Israel. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenants which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, Israel, first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So here's again, Jesus Christ came to his own, and his own refused him, received him not. Okay? He came to his own. He had to come to the nation Israel. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we, Israel, are his witnesses of these things, and so it is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. No mistakenly there, God is still using the nation Israel in this time period as the blessings. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 is in the But Now books for the body of Christ, but it says this, verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. Wait a minute now, there is neither Jew or Greek. I thought the Jew Israelites was prominent up here. They had statues, they had They're supposed to be above all other people. But Paul says there's neither Jew or Gentile. There's something's changing here. It's not the same. What does Ephesians chapter 2 say? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, we talked about times past. We're getting ready to go into but now. In Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There was a spiritual wall between Jews and Gentiles. Okay? Spiritually. You couldn't be it unless you become a Jew. You couldn't get to God. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. That's a legal wall. Remember, the wall fortified the law, and you could not just go into the temple. Okay? That's a legal wall. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, not at the cross, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. He took down that physical wall of the law and the circumcision and all that stuff, Lord Jesus Christ, by the cross. You don't find that until you get to Paul. Also he says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit and to the Father. Okay? Something's changing there. I haven't opened up the but now yet, but right here is where we're at in this time period. Number four of this. Israel promised kingdom was being offered during this time. You got to remember, John the Baptist come preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Lord Jesus Christ, kingdom of heaven is at hand. He commissions the 12 to go preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay? It's not offered. It's at hand. There's a big difference there. Took me a little while to understand that, but it's not the same. Now it's being offered to you. We always refer, so we got coffee in the back, okay? It's at hand, but it's not offered till you go back and get it, okay? Accept it. So, Pentecost, the kingdom is being offered now. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, you got to remember who that was. It's not you and me. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus and for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Acts chapter 3. Didn't John the Baptist say that? Save yourself from the wrath to come. And he called that generation vipers. Okay? Can you imagine walking up to somebody and calling somebody a viper? You know, when you're behind keyboards, you ever notice, or CBs, or telephones, you're the bravest person on earth. But to stand in front of somebody and call them a viper, knowing the circumstances what may occur. John the Baptist got his head cut off. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And we're getting ready to see what happens to Stephen. Okay? Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer has so fulfilled. You got to remember, the death, burial, and resurrection is not a mystery. It was foretold that he was going to come and die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, a promise of a redeemer. That's the gospel of God. The good news that he was going to send his son to redeem mankind, because why? We're a fallen race. You and I will never be good enough to ever do anything to please God in the flesh. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That's prophecy. Something spoken since the world began is not the same as something was kept secret before the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever ye shall say unto you. Moses even prophesied a prophet's going to be arise in front of you from God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed among the people. Yea, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many have has spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Yea, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenants which fathers made with our with God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That's Matthew 12:34. Unto you first, God having raised up his son, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So now it's being offered. This is what you got to do, Israel. If you want to continue to be God's people, if you want to continue not to be set aside, you done stumbled at the cross. Okay? You got to think about this for a second. What he's offering them is a way to repent and get into the program of God. That's not what you and I are supposed to be doing today. But a lot of people in the churches, a lot of 90% of your churches will base their belief. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Charismatic. Over 90-some percent of your denominational teachings will take you right there to Acts chapter 2 to be saved. And that's not talking to you today in the dispensation of grace. We'll get to that in a little bit. Pentecost is said to be Israel's last days, not for the body of Christ's first days. Like people said, if the body of Christ started in Acts chapter 2, you're getting ready to hear what Peter was saying in the last days. Go to verse 17, chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Peter's last days, let's keep reading. Saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. That last days is different from Paul's last days in 2 Timothy 3:1. If you go to, and we probably go to later on, but Paul's last days will tell you exactly what's going on right now. Men will be lovers of themselves, seducing spirits, doctrine of devils. Okay? You can see that going on all the time. Now,
There's already a church in existence on the day of Pentecost. It's the prophesied church. What do we read in chapter 2, verse 47? Chapter 2, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You know what added to means? You're shaking your head like, yeah. You have a cake mixture, okay? And you already got the foundation. It says add vanilla. Was the vanilla the start of the mixture? No. Added to is means something's already there. You know what hold your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Many people get confused when they think about we got to return to the days of Pentecost. Really? We'll see some things here in a little bit. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." There's a church already there. Okay? That last verse we read is very, very important when you get to Galatians chapter 2. And the handshakes that Peter and Paul did, what he bounds on earth is bound in heaven, that type of thing. Very, very important that you know that. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Psalms 22, 22, same thing, okay? There's a church already there at Pentecost. That's why we call this a kingdom church. And God is not dealing with a kingdom church today. That might upset a lot of people. He's forming a church, the body of Christ. Let's go keep moving a little bit. Number 7, the Pentecost program is not the program for the body of Christ or the dispensation of grace. Now I'm going to I'm going to wait for a second. Let's open up this chart. We're going to look at some different spiritual things, okay? Acts chapter 1, we're going to compare some things. Well, I'm going to hold off for a second because this usually, when you open up churches like a chart, it's like, whoa, wow. But right now, this is your Bible, okay, and prophecy. That's where we all established that. You and I, in this program of prophecy, in the dispensation of grace, is not there. It was not foretold. It was not made known. It was kept secret. Way back over there before even God created the heaven and earth, I believe. Okay? Now, different spiritual baptism. You have Acts chapter 1, verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." See that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we are all have been made to drink unto one Spirit." This is the oneness. But by one Spirit is baptizing us. The different views of the cross we saw in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye have delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. This is not good, is it? Their view of the cross, it wasn't good. Chapter 4, verse 23. Chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they have heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all them that is, who by the mouth of a servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The king of the earth stood up, and the rulers which were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of the truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. This wasn't good, was it? Okay, this is what they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does Galatians chapter 6 say? Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, saved in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That's a different view of the cross. Different salvation message. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Once again, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. 90% of your churches out there will say this is what you have to do to be saved. That's an error today. In times past, this is what was required of you to be offered. The kingdom's being offered to the nation Israel. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We just went over verses after verses after verses. Who is Peter talking to? Israel. Ye are not Israel. You are not Israel. The salvation verses, Acts 16. Get Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and all the house. That's totally different than what you just read. Now it's just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You with me? I know what people say. The Bible's got contradictions in it. You can't believe it. It says one thing here. It don't have contradictions in the Bible. It's contrast, just opposites. Then there's a different economical order. You know, in order for them to have a church, in order for them to have, to survive, it's economics, okay? God don't have anything bad about supporting things, okay? He wanted you to support things. He wants you to support things now. Acts chapter 2. This is one of the big things that when you ask people what they believe in to be saved, and they run you over to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, that's where they stop. But if you ever read Acts 2, chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, where it says, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had his need." These guys in that church over here that's already established, not the church, the body of Christ, they had all things in common. They brought it and put it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed every man's his needs. Now, that's a great kingdom thing if you think about it. But what happened to that church? Okay? It went broke. You'll find out later on when you look at when Paul met with Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars. They said, "Remember the poor saints in Jerusalem." That's why he took up an offering. It went broke. And I'm going to say this on the side. People out there thinking communism and socialism is the way to go, this is what usually ends up. It goes broke. Okay? You're going to be out in the streets, broke. But look, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. "But if any man provide not his own, for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than" what? "An infidel." Infidel is a non-believer. Okay? What does it say? If you don't provide for your house, you're worse than an infidel. That's totally different from over there. They had all things in common and every man distributed. Listen, if you don't work, you don't eat today. Okay? There's nothing wrong with saving. There's nothing wrong with helping your neighbor and your family members, that type of thing. But this is what it says. That order is very important. There's different religious orders. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was come fully, they were all with one accord in one place." Verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer." Verse 46. "And they had continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of the heart." Chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of the prayer, being the ninth hour." Chapter 5, verse 42. "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You see all that happening? That's a religious order, what they was doing. House to house, praying daily, giving bread, temple worship. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in specter of holy days or the new moon or of the Sabbath days." Let no man. You think if you was back there in Pentecost and you didn't do what they say, you think they would judge you? Yeah, absolutely. If you didn't do what they say. But God through Paul says, "Let no man judge you." Galatians chapter 4. Go back a couple books. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Starting with verse 8. "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto him which by nature are no gods. But now, after thou have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements unto whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? The things that they was doing in times past, the Jews, is bondage. Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Totally different in the religious orders. Totally different if you come in and say prayers after prayers and walk with rituals and stuff like that. Now, got a few more minutes. There's something that if you take your Bible, it's okay to write in your Bible. You know, use a pencil or use one of those marker pens. That's very, very important. Don't ask it. But the early Acts is a record of the Pentecostal era. Okay, from Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 8, there's an era there. E-R-A, okay? Not E-R-R-O-R. With me? Now, something you need to remind yourself with this. The Pentecostal experience, what people want to experience, okay, is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In my Bible, I can go through that right now. From Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, I got Pentecostal experience. This is where the experience of the Pentecostal that people want to gather, okay? Now, Pentecostal explained is from Acts chapter 2, verses 12 through 47. Pentecostal picture, what's going to happen, what's happening, pictured, is Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Pentecostal present is Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through chapter 4, verse 22. I was going to read all these, but that's a lot of reading. You can do it for yourself, but I just want you to understand what's happening here. A Pentecostal repeated is Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to chapter 5, verse 11. They're repeating the same thing that they did over here. Pentecostal withstood is Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 42. Pentecostal extended is Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. That's where we're at over here in Stephen, okay? That's what we was talking about early. It's extension. Let me move on for a second. Pentecostals rejected is Acts chapter 6, verse 8 through Acts chapter 8, verse 1. So if you can get that in your frame of reference, and if you need me to send that outline to you, I will. Just email me or text me or, you know, that type of thing. Or you can, for $3.99, you can get this tape and listen to it. Just joking, guys. It's free. You can go back and listen to this lesson over and over and over, and I wish you would. But the thing is this. That outline will help you understand what that 1 year of that fig tree, that 1 year where God allowed Israel to not fall. They did stumble, right? But they haven't fallen yet. And for the sake of time, how much time we got? We got a few more minutes. Yeah, we'll look at this right quick. Now you're looking into the, they stumbled, but they did not fall. But rather through their fall, you're going to see, probably making a lot of noise, you're going to see that right here in Acts chapter 8, what we just read, they do start to fall. They stumbled at the cross, Israel did. Now they're going to start to fall. And then they're going to diminish down here where there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. This is why the book of Acts is very, very important to understand that it's the explaining the fall of Israel. And all the terminology in there is to Israel. Okay? And a lot of people right now are taking that and applying it to Paul's epistles and are getting confused. Okay? But you need to understand where we're at right now. We'll probably get to that later on. But they're at the fall. Although Israel did not fall at the cross, okay, she did substantially fall. And this took place in Acts chapter 7 when they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit at the stoning of Stephen. And this declaration of Israel leaders in Jerusalem is recognized as the official act, because Stephen was addressing the council, the Senate, the House of Representatives, the legislative branch of the Israel's government, and he was telling them. In Acts chapter 7, let's see if we can get through this. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do what? Ye. They resisted the Holy Ghost. God the Father represented in John the Baptist. God the Son represented the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God the Holy Spirit is in Stephen. They resisted that. See what Stephen called them? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised. That wasn't good. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 22, verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying to me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, thou know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send ye far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. They're even saying that to who? Paul, okay? When he mentioned that word Gentiles, that God was going to the Gentiles, that'd cut you off. They will kill you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ. For ye also have suffered like things in your own countrymen, even as they of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. You know what happened there? They're being cut off from the kingdom when they was doing that. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. That's what we're looking at. Prophecy, mystery. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. Don't do that. That blindness is in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Blindness right now has happened to the nation Israel over here until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so all Israel shall be saved, as is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, that them be in Israel. You and I are not covenant people. When I shall take away their sins, as concerning the gospel, they, Israel, are enemies for your sake, but touching the election, they are beloved for their father's sake. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past had not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all, God did this, all in unbelief, that he might have mercy on them. Something's changed there, guys. Okay? God's now dealing with Gentiles and showing Israel over here and trying to provoke them to jealousy. Then the diminishing come, and we'll pick that up next week about the diminishing. And we're going to be going into the but now phase of your Bible and the timeline. But think about this for a minute, what we read. A lot of people out there, and I keep saying this over and over and over, because you need to see this. You need to get this and frame your reference about how people will convince you you're a part of Israel. And you need to do what Israel says. You need to do what God through Israel is saying. And you need to do the red letters in God's Bible. Okay? And they put emphasis on red letters because Jesus said this. But listen. Jesus is God. God spoke the word. All of it should be read, if anything. Not R-E-D, R-E-A-D. Read. Just. But look, not joking, but seriously, it should be considered all of it's God's word. I don't have a red letter Bible. Many of you do. That's okay. But all of it's God's word. But they're falling. Okay? They stumble that they should fall, God forbid, but rather through their fall, and then you're going to find about their diminishing. They're going away. But people will not identify who you are in the body of Christ. They will not open their eyes and ears. They're thick-headed, they're uncircumcised, stiff-necked, using God's terms, and they just fail you to see that. My encouragement to you is that you will be a Bible believer, not a Bible packer. Don't be the type of person that unscrews their head off and put it in the glove box and you let anybody do your thinking for you. That's what's wrong with us today. I was one of those. My wife can testify she was one of those. But I thank God that we believe the Word of God, and it doesn't matter if you're right, I'm wrong, you're right. It's what God said. Amen. And if you haven't trust, here's the thing. It's not repent and be baptized for the remission of sins and you receive the Holy Ghost. It's the fact today you trust what Christ did at the Calvary, that he died, was buried, and he rose again. He saves you. He seals you. He even baptized you. We looked at that by one Spirit. The Spirit baptizes you into Jesus Christ. What more baptism do you need? What more circumcision do you need? He circumcised your heart. So with that being said, you being inside of him, it makes the whole world a difference out there. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things to give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Once again, if you want to help with the ministry, we do have a donation button on our website. On our Boxcast, on our, I guess it's YouTube or on our website and that type of thing, www.dispensationalbiblechurch.org. We'd love to hear from you. We'd like to hear how you're doing. I didn't mention this on the onslaught. There's new platforms out there coming, seem like every day. MeWe, Cloud Hub. I did establish a group. It's called Dispensational Bible Thinking in CloudHub. And so if you looked up Dispensator One or Dispensational Bible Thinking, I'll be throwing some teachings out or even questions. This one question I got out today is, does the Apostle Paul have a dual apostleship for the little flock and the body of Christ? Just thinking about that, you know, people says, you know, he's teaching the little flock and Romans and all that stuff, but just think about that for a minute. But that's a new platform. I'm trying to figure out if we can go live on that because, you know, we talked about, you know, technology could be shutting you down or whatever case may be. They could shut us up in a heartbeat right now. You know, anything we do is all electronic now. So anyway, keep our website in thought and prayer. I'm thinking of you. I'll lift you up to the Lord. And until this time next week, grace and peace.